Welcome to church, all of those tuning in online. Honestly, I love that we are connected even like this. For those that are in the building and get to come down to the address, it's awesome to have you. Really good to see you. Listen, I know that this is church, and I know that we just came out of worship. I know that God's given me a word for our church. I get all that, but listen, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It only happens one time a year. We've got to talk about it. I'm a giant, huge, major football fan, especially an NFL football fan. I'm just all about the pros. I like the pros, and here's the reason why I like the pros better than your favorite college team. I'm just going to tell you why. Because at the end of every single season in the NFL, there is only one undisputed champion. Just one, and you can't argue it, okay? College system is a little different. All right, so just for fun, and I really like the engagement from those of you online. Like, throw this in the chat, and I recognize that we have a lot of people actually that don't tune in online live. You watch a playback later in the week. We're seeing a lot of that. So I just want you to pretend like you don't know the outcome, all right? And here's what I want to know. Like, I just want to know who you're rooting for. So in the chat, throw it in there. So in the room, all my Chiefs people, we're going for the Chiefs tonight. Okay. All right. I've got how many of you guys are like from Kansas City? All right, good. All right. Yeah, okay. I have one. That's good. Okay. All right. Anywhere close? Like been a Chiefs fan your whole life? Any of those in the room? Okay. Fair enough. I have zero skin in tonight's game. I will sleep so good. I don't care what happens. How many of you are going for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight? All right. Of those of you been a Bucks fan your whole life? All right. Nobody even knew the Bucks existed until about 10, 12, 15 years ago. So here's my take. I would bet on the Chiefs. I'm going to root for the Bucks, okay? And I wouldn't bet, but I'm going to root for the Bucks. This is the first time that I've ever rooted for Tom Brady in my life. Yeah. And look, the conversation's over, okay? You have to respect it. He is the GOAT. Stop all your silly arguments. It is what it is. You have to respect it. But I can root for him today because he's out of that awful uniform he wore for 20 years, okay? Praise the Lord. So I'm going for him. Hey, fun fact. How about this? Think about this. Tom Brady has played in 18% of all Super Bowls. That's crazy. If you have this question, like, is he really the GOAT? Just split his career in half, take the first 10 years, and then split it right down the middle and take the second 10 years. And the answer is yes, he's the greatest of all time, both times. The closest second is third place. Just is what it is. Just by stats, Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl wins, that's enough about football. Y'all ready to transition? I could totally have a sports radio show. I really could. I could talk about the NFL all day long. I am excited about the game tonight. It gives me a good excuse to eat hot wings and a good excuse to watch my favorite game in all the world. But let's talk about what we're here to talk about. We're in a series that we're calling A New Day. And here, just if you're new, like if this is your first installment, you weren't here last week or you didn't see the playback online, I'm gonna spend just a handful of minutes catching you up. But here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna challenge you, okay? If you did not get installment number one, I think it's actually imperative that you do. I think it's very important to you that you do, because you're going to be in the full context of what I believe God is trying to do in our church. Now, if you're here as a guest, you're just kicking the tires, you don't even know if you like this place, I'm not putting that on you. But if this is your home, I'm saying you need part number one. And not because I think it's important that you listen to me talk, but it's because what I say is some very important context of what God is trying to do in this church. So if you missed it, I'm just going to encourage you to go back and find it on YouTube and catch installment number one of our series we're calling A New Day. We're taking a journey through the book of Exodus. We've been looking at the Israelite people. We've been looking at Moses, who would lead those people out of Egyptian captivity. They were enslaved and they were in bondage. And God would call this guy named Moses to be the leader to take them out. Now, here's your flash review, okay? Here's your fast review. Last week, here's what we looked at, that Moses' life was spared. He was discovered in a basket in a river. He was raised in the home of the Egyptian king they call Pharaoh. I said it this way, and I actually like the way, because I think it just gives this perfect description, that Moses lived in the most silver spoon thing you could ever imagine. So, like, you just imagine somebody that sort of had it all their whole life, and they didn't have to really work for anything. They didn't have to earn anything. That would have been Moses' story. That was his upbringing. He grew up in the home of the king. He had the greatest school, education, greatest life. I mean, just, he had it all. Somewhere, though, in his life, he starts to discover, and I've been doing more and more reading and research down into this story, and found that it was probably his high intellect and incredible education that actually caused him to become aware, I think I'm a Hebrew. I don't know, the historians don't necessarily think that he actually knew that, like he was told that, but something became, and I'm sure physically and by appearance, he probably felt different his whole life, I'm sure, but he started to recognize educationally, like, I don't think this is who I am, and what we saw was Moses begin to have a heart for Israel and for the Hebrew people, and so what he does is he goes to just, like, I'm going to check it out, like, what do they have going on? What is their life like? And then, as we saw last week, he recognized that they were, that Israel was under terrible oppression and horrible slavery. And maybe he was blind to this, but what we recognize is that it starts to bother his heart. We see a transition start in the life of Moses, where he becomes very uncomfortable with what he's seeing, and he does some very, very drastic things. He ends up actually killing an Egyptian in the defense of a Hebrew slave. He then goes to try to communicate and build some relationship with the Hebrews, to which they are completely, Israel's like, who are you, silver spoon guy? Which is not a great nickname to come up with on the fly, but like, who are you? Are you our prince? Are you our judge? Are you gonna beat and kill us like you beat and killed that Egyptian? To which he's like, oh no, apparently I've been caught. And then all of a sudden he finds out that Egypt also knows, and now he's in trouble and he's on the run for his life because he has no people. He is not accepted by Israel, and he is no longer accepted in Egypt. And where we left last week is that Moses would go to the land of Midian. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning. We're going to start here, though. This is our theme verse, and I like to always have a theme verse. I don't know if in 6 weeks' time we could commit this to memory, then we would have hidden God's word in our heart. And we'd have something to arm ourselves when the enemy's coming at us. But Isaiah 43:19 says, I'm doing a, say this with me, a what? A new thing. It's a new thing. Our series is called A New Day. I believe that at Church on the Rock, God is trying to do a new thing in you. And I said it this way last week, that if God's going to do a new thing in us, that means he has to do a new thing in you. Because we're a family. So the church isn't the address. It's not this building. That's why you being connected online makes you still a part of this. You're still a part of us. We're very close. We're very connected because we are the church. It is not a church. So if God wants to do a new thing in Church on the Rock, he has to do a new thing in you. It is Church on the Rock, a new day. Amen. And then he says this, it's springing up right now. Do you not perceive it? I love the question. And he's kind of calling out the people that are like I was as a student, less aware, not all that tuned in. You know what I mean? Like those people. It's really a wake-up call. Like, hey, pay attention. Something is going on. And I love what he says, that I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So no matter what your life looks like, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how dry it might be, impossible the situation may seem, how hopeless you may feel, I'm doing a new thing and I'm going to do it right where you are. Amen. Yeah. Amen. This is what God is doing at Church on the Rock. It's a new day. In fact, let me digress. I don't even know if I have time for this kind of stuff, but I'm going to digress. Now, like, I don't even feel like when I've come to church in the last 2 weeks that it doesn't even feel like the same place to me. Like, something feels different. Like example, and these are the kind of things that personally I celebrate that mean a lot to me, but when I walk around the campus, it's pre-service, and I'm watching just, like, people do stuff. I mean, I am watching people set things up and get out tables and get prepared for you, and all of our serve team members wear these tags, these blue-looking stickers, and I'm walking around, and they're, like, everywhere, like an army of amazing people doing things to make sure that people are served well when they come here, and it just, I'm telling you, it raises my spirit to a whole nother level. Two consecutive weeks in a row, I have met people on the team that have attended the church that I didn't even know before. Like, hey, good morning, I'm so-and-so, we've never met personally. I'm like, I don't know that I've ever seen you with my eyeballs before, and here you are making a difference in our church. Listen, it's a new day. Like there's like a spirit and a heart of contribution in this house all of a sudden. That like, if I'm going to eat at the table, I'm going to serve at the table. All right. Exodus. We're going to pick up the story of Moses. He went to Midian, and we're going to pick up Exodus chapter 3. How many of you guys did homework this week and read Exodus? Very good, very good. All right. Hopefully we can grab some traction, and we can start preparing our hearts for what God wants to deposit in us week after week. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to focus on 8 verses. The Bible says one day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. Now, we'll just kind of pause for a second. I'm going to point out some things that Moses was raised in Egypt. He's an Israelite by birth. He became a nomad. He had to just separate and get out of the land. He had no people. He found himself in a place called Midian where he would actually kind of take up residency and start to figure out life on his own. It's the first time that the silver spoon is not there, and he has to kind of figure it out. He meets this great woman. He ends up getting married, and he has a rock star father-in-law. He really does. Jethro, don't scoff at his name. He is a man who's loads of wisdom, and he does a lot of great things, makes a lot of positive deposits in Moses' life. And so Moses is now a shepherd, and he's just tending his flock out in Midian. And he led the flock. Here, if you're a note taker, if you like to highlight or to circle or to write some extra things, he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. And I just want you to note that. That's something we're going to kind of look at a little bit today, that Moses was the leader of the sheep. And shepherds take their flocks places. So let me contextualize a little bit. I've been called by God to be the lead pastor of this church. I see myself this way. Pastors and shepherds, they're very synonymous in the Bible. They really play the same role. God reflects and looks at them in a lot of the same way. And so what I feel like God is calling me to do for Church on the Rock in this season is lead us into a new day. Like, I'm trying to take us somewhere. I feel like God has clarified a direction. Come on, like, move with me in the Word. Again, part one, if you haven't seen it, go see it, is decisive direction. Like, God knows what he's trying to do here. And I really believe that he's putting it inside of me, and I'm trying to get it out and put it inside of you so that collectively we can go to this decisive direction that God has called our church to, because it is a new day. It's not like it was. It's different. And so Moses is a leader, and the Bible says that he leads his flock out into the wilderness, but not just some random place. He came to Sinai, the mountain of God. So Moses takes the sheep to a place where God is known to go. And just hold that in your mind. And there, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, he said. Like, I think we all would say that. Like, what? That's what I probably would have said. And Moses said to himself, why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. And I love this. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, that's when God called. God called to him from the middle of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is something that God would do all the time. He would describe himself in this way. Just caveat, it's not huge in terms of its relevance to today's message, but I want you to know this, that God thinks generationally. So when he thinks about you, it's bigger than you. And so I know that sometimes we sit in our frustration about the challenges of our individual lives, and we beg God, set us free, release me, help me, rescue me, save me. But God is thinking about a picture that is bigger than me. And I just think it's important, if we can keep that into perspective, we can understand that God is always up to something. He didn't fall off his throne. He hasn't dozed off. He hasn't forgotten what he's trying to achieve. So to the life and the voice of Church on the Rock, it's a decisive direction. It is a new day. Nothing you've been through is wasted. God is taking us somewhere. And yes, it will impact us, but it's bigger than us. Amen. That's just a little rabbit trail. That's in parentheses. That's bonus material. Okay, so he says all these people. He describes himself. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And then the Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Let me just back up again and let's just look at that a second. So in this moment in the wilderness, Moses intentionally takes his life, which are those sheep, to a wilderness place, to a place where God is known to be. And he intentionally gets them out there. And it's there that he actually does, in fact, have this incredible encounter with God. He sees something he's never seen before. What he sees, by the way, is something supernatural. A bush is on fire, but the bush is not consumed. And I feel like I'm just going to talk. If I step out into a parenthesis, I'm not going to classify that anymore. I'm just going to talk to you, okay? That I think that there's a significance in the supernatural. I think the modern day Western church has lost its hope for God and the supernatural. But it's a new day. So your expectation, Church on the Rock, I'd like it to heighten in the way of the supernatural. Like, can God heal your body? Yes. Can God give your family member freedom from that bondage? Yes. Can God do a new thing in you that you didn't even think was possible because of your past and your story and your history and your lineage and your family and your history? Yeah. So I find it interesting that when Moses sees God, he sees him in the supernatural. And then God begins to speak, and what God does is God sets his posture. Whoa, don't come closer. Go ahead and take your shoes off. We see Moses hides his face. He has this moment, and then he hears the voice of the Lord. Now, if you remember last week, we focused on the heart, and here's what I said last week, that the heart changes before the ear hears. In order for our ear to hear what God is trying to say, we have to allow God to do the work in the heart. And so Moses had a heart that began to shift and change and bend and lean toward a people that he really didn't know that well, to a passionate point of their defense and in a radical expression that something's different in me, and God had never spoke to him. It was just something going on the inside. There was an internal change going on, and now we're at this place where God begins to speak. His ear is now ready to hear what God is trying to say. Now, in our Bibles, it's from chapter 2 to chapter 3. It's really not that far away. But in reality, this was a span that historians believe was at least 40 years. Some historians believe it was 55 years. From the time that Moses began to have a heart for his people and the time that his ear actually heard what God was trying to say. And there is so much in that. I could get lost in creative thought of why. What I believe is taking place is that God is leading Moses on a journey of his own, because it's about the journey with God. It's not about showing up to church and checking it off your box. It's not about reading the Bible and checking it off the box. It's not about a prayer time just so you can check it off the box. It's about cultivating a relationship with the God that wants to go on a walk with you, that actually wants to do some things on the inside of you. So church is a part of that process, and the Bible certainly is a part of that process, and time in prayer, certainly a part of that process. Life groups, come on, the launch, right, is a part of that process because we're designed to be relationally. And so if you're not in a group, I think you should consider one. Say amen right there, because we need each other. It's part of the journey with God, because God uses his people to express his heart. And so what we see happening here is that God begins a deep work on the inside of Moses and begins to change him and begins to trade him. And he's far removed from the easy life of Egypt. And he's in a place where he's had to earn it on his own now. He's had to fight off some enemies in the defense of what he's called to shepherd. And Moses is in a posture now where he probably has calluses on his hands and his skin is probably a little scorched from the sun. He's got a deeper understanding of earning something and having value in something, being willing to lay down his life for something. Moses has had a major internal change. And then God says, psst, I have something to say. It's so interesting, isn't it? And when I just think of my story, when I think of yours, I could look back and reflect on many, many times where God was just simply doing something inside of me. And the whole time, I hated it. Because it hurt, it was uncomfortable, I didn't have direction, I didn't know what was going on. But God would say, hey, nothing you've been through is wasted. And we watch this span of time where God is doing a great work before he speaks into Moses' life. And he says, I've seen the oppression. So all these people are in all this burden, all this time, so that God could work on one man. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to, and I just want you to notice some things that God's going to do. I'm going to rescue them, I'm going to lead them, and I'm going to give them their own good and spacious land. Can I just paraphrase it into the Pastor Josh Hersey version? I am taking them in a decisive direction. I'm trying to take my people somewhere. But in order for them to get there, I needed you to be ready to hear me. And I find this so intriguing and fascinating. And so here's the question that I want to ask is like, what did Moses do to be able to hear? Because last week, if you did the homework, we spent the week in reflection. We thought back about 2020, which by most people's standards was not stellar. Most people would give it like you know, some one star. Two thumbs down kind of thing. But I get it. Some people, it was great for you or whatever, business or family or, you know, Lauren and I have some friends that they had a bunch of major life things happen for them all in positive ways. When they look back at 2020, they're like, yeah, it wasn't all that bad. You know, okay. But for many of us, it was not a great year. Good or bad, we spent the week in reflection. Like what was God trying to do in our own hearts? What did we see that we weren't aware of before? What changed on the inside of us? And we spent time in reflection, and that was intentional, and that was purposeful, because this week we're going to spend time perking up the ear trying to listen for what God is trying to say. So if that's what we're going to go toward, let's find out what Moses did to hear. So first thing I'm going to point out is this, that Moses goes to a quiet place. This will preach, because we live in a world of noise and busyness and pace. And I'm talking about it's a hustle all the time, and it is nonstop go. And the more, like, the busier you are, the more you do, the more tasks you have, the more celebrated you are, the more affirmation you get. And for people of faith to go to a quiet place and actually listen for the voice of the Lord, it's something hard to do because everything else in our world is training us otherwise. But Moses does this thing where he intentionally leads the people out into the wilderness, which was something he always did, by the way. We're not even going to go this far in Exodus in this series, but this is Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. And the Bible says this, it was Moses' custom to set up a tent known as the tent of meeting far outside the camp. Everyone who wanted to consult with the Lord would go there. Moses had an understanding that in order for me to meet with God, I need to have a place to meet with God. He got in a quiet place. He got into the wilderness. He got away from the pace of life and the distractions of life. I'll bet that he left his cell phone on the donkey. Just a guess. It's just a guess. And what I'm encouraging you and I to do is this week, find a quiet place. Where's the quiet place? Where's the place that we can just push away all the distractions of the world and of life? Where's the place that the TV can't, the noise of it can't get to us? The cell phone can't interrupt us? Where's the place that the kids can't tattletale? At that moment, here's what I've discovered, early in the morning for me. I would prefer that not be true, but it is. I'm not getting emails. I'm not getting text messages. Nobody's disrupting things. It's early in the morning. It's a quiet place. It's harder for me to ramp myself up and get going, but thank God for sugar and caffeine. Amen. I figured out. Make it happen. Why? Because I need a quiet place. I've got to get into a spot where I push off the noise and I eliminate the distraction, because if I actually want to hear what God is trying to say, I'm probably going to have to be more like Moses and get intentional about it. Because if I expect God to just speak, and I'm not saying he won't, but if I expect God to just speak in my rhythm, in my norm, in my grind, in my go, in my hustle, I might miss the still small voice, as the Bible describes it, of God in my spirit. As an example, let's go to the best one in all the Bible. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer, to a quiet place. We just used this verse in our last series in January. But he would often pull back, withdraw, get out of that rat race and that pace, and he would go to a quiet place. There's something else, though, that Moses did, and it's the only other thing we're going to look at today, is that Moses postures himself to receive from God. I like this. And so I'm gonna pedal here just a second, that he postures himself to receive from God. Both physically and really spiritually, he's postured himself. So there was an intention that I'm gonna go get into the quiet place. I'm gonna go out into the wilderness. I'm gonna go to the mountain of God. If that's where God is, I'll go there, kind of a thing. But then we notice that God begins to speak and he says, stop there. Take off your sandals. Moses hides his face. There's a physical posture that is involved in Moses' reception to the Lord. And here's what I'm going to challenge, and here's what I'm going to ask, and this is to all of us in the church, but like, does our posture set us up to receive from God? Are there things in our lives that are bad postures to receive from God? Are there things that we could eliminate, get rid of, do without, pause from, have a sabbatical from, that we could not do on certain days, create disciplines around? Is there postures that we could set ourselves up differently to better receive from God because he's trying to communicate? Is it possible? I would venture to say for about 100% of us, yeah, probably. There's probably some things that just need some attention. They need some boundaries, some guidelines, some execution. Might be time to just kill some stuff in your life that, you know, no more. I don't know what it is, but his posture was important. I'm going to go a step further and make it as like as practical as possible, but suggestion. And I get this. The funny guy, as he's known in our church, Pastor Derek, was leading prayer during 21 days of prayer. It was early in prayer, and he made this statement. It cracked me up, as a lot of things that he says and does do with his great personality. But he made this statement when we dismissed everybody to their prayer postures, is what we call it. So like, we'll say it this way. Like, if you like to walk around and pray, walk and pray. Or if you want to kneel and pray, kneel and pray. Or whatever. You find your posture. And that's the exact language we use, posture. And Pastor Derek said this. He said, the only posture that's not good is the one that makes you fall asleep. And it was funny. It was funny because, you know, the room's a little dark. The music's loud. You know, it's the end of the day. People are tired. And it happens. It happens. People fall asleep. Whatever. His joke was, if that's the posture, don't do that posture. Do the other posture. And so I'm just being really, really, like, as practical as I could possibly think to be. But if you're at the end of the day making that your quiet place, but you're beat, you're exhausted from everything that's going on, and every time that you sit in that comfy chair to read the Bible, you just fall asleep every single time, or maybe it's that you lay down to pray, but you find yourself never finishing what you actually are there to pray about because your posture is setting you up to fail, I'm just going to suggest a new posture. And I know that's ridiculous, but like, sometimes I'm the kind of guy, like, I need coaching like that, you know? That kind of coaching. Example, the founding pastor of our church quit smoking. He was a 3-pack-a-day guy forever before he met Jesus. And he simply heard the voice of the Lord say to him one time, just in a moment of prayer about cigarettes, he said this: if you never touch another one, you'll never smoke another one. Well, like, that's simple. It's not necessarily easy. You can see the difference. But he took it so radically that he just cold turkey right there. From 3 packs a day to no packs a day, I don't know his age, and I wouldn't give it away to you exactly if I did, but to my knowledge, he's never even touched another one since then. He needed real practical coaching. It's helpful. I'm just trying to give you real practical coaching. Heard about a guy, and I wish that I could remember who it was or when I heard it. Years ago, I heard a message, and I heard about a guy that understood the value of the Bible. Like, he knew it's everything. It's my lifeline. I got to have this word. But no matter how he tried to receive the word, he fell asleep. He would sit in his chair, fall asleep. He would sit at the table, nod off, fall asleep. Couldn't retain the information. He would lie down, fall asleep. Didn't matter. He couldn't seem to do it. So what this guy did, because he said, I am so committed to getting the word of God on the inside of me, is that he stood on the rail of his bathtub to read his Bible, because he understood, if I fall asleep here, the consequences are bigger. And every day, he stood on the edge of his tub to read his Bible, because he said, I'm committed to the posture being effective. Just an idea. It's just an idea, because it matters, doesn't it? It matters that if I don't have the right posture, I'm not set up to receive from the Lord. My sheep, the Bible says, they what? They hear my voice. And when they hear, what do? We're in a decisive direction. It's a new day. We're listening. God, what are you trying to say? What are you speaking into my life? So here's my practicals, okay? And we'll land the plane right here. Questions to reflect on this week. So if you're a note taker, if you're in, and I got a lot of positive feedback about this. So for those of you that like this kind of stuff, you're welcome. For those of you that can't stand homework, I'm sorry, okay? But I would encourage you to try it. All right, question number one is just, where's your quiet place? I know that's practical, but where is it? Some of you don't even have one. I would encourage you to find one. Mine changes seasonally. I have a place in my yard that I love to, praise the Lord, that I love to pray. I can't pray there in the summertime. It's way too hot, and I cannot stand Florida summers. I know, right? It's just way too hot. So in the summer times, I don't pray there. Sometimes I sit on my lawnmower in my garage to pray. Well, it has to be in the cool of the evening or early in the morning, because, again, it just gets stuffy and hot in there. But I don't know why. I like that lawnmower. I looked at it for 2 years at Sears before I was able to pay cash for it. And now that I have it, I deeply appreciate it. And it stays clean, and I pray on it. Amen. And so that sometimes is a prayer place for me. We've been in a never-ending home renovation project. When COVID started, we started renovating the house. And that was not on purpose. That's how it timed out. And I now have a spot. We have a living room. I know that sounds simple, but we actually have a living room, and that contextually means a lot to us. And early in the mornings, I have a chair. That's me. That's my spot. Sometimes when the house is busy and there's chaos, my door shuts, and it's just the carpet that's under the bed in our room. Where's your quiet place? Sometimes I take trips. I love driving. I can think very, very clearly there. And so if I'm heading to Georgia and it's 2.5 hours away, I can do a lot of talking with God there, a lot of praying, and a lot of thinking, of reflection. The just simple question, where's your quiet place? Number two for time is, what is God saying to you? I want you to ask this question every day. God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying? And I know what some of you are thinking. You're going, I don't know. How do I know? How do I know if God is speaking? Tip, I promise you, listen very carefully. You will never hear the sound of God's voice until you know what it sounds like. The Bible is God's living word. It is good for you today. It is not archaic. It is not ancient. It is not outdated. The truths inside of this living document solve every problem the world knows. And those that heed this word walk in peace. Not comfort, peace. And so I'm just encouraging you, if you're, the question is, God, what are you saying to me? And you're like, I don't know how to hear God's voice. This week, you can read Exodus chapter 4 in preparation for next week. Okay, Exodus chapter 4, right? Oh, stink. This furthers my point. But if you're like, look, I don't know how to read the Bible, where do I go? Check it out. Ready? Ready? In the New Testament of your Bible, the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just start there. Just go there and just read. Just read. Just listen about Jesus. And if you have a Bible that has red letters in it, that means that's Jesus talking. Pay close attention to those. I don't have a Bible. We'll get you. I'll buy you one. We'll get a Bible. Hey, there's digital formats everywhere. Go to your app store and get the YouVersion Bible app. Just get the Word of God. Mine sends me the verse of the day at 7 a.m. every single morning. I just like, get it in me, get it in me, get it in me. But listen, you want to know what God's voice sounds like? It sounds like this, because faith comes by and hearing by the Bible. It's the Word of God. This is how we hear. All right, I gave it away too early. But this is what I want to encourage you to study this week. We're going to read and we're going to ponder Exodus chapter 4. Read and ponder this. And here's my tip. Here's my tip. You ready? I'll try to do this every week if I can. I'm going to give you my tip. In Exodus chapter 4, God is emphasizing something and Moses is emphasizing something. What are they? I want you to just look for that. What is it? There's an emphasis, and if you read it, and you might have to read it a time or two, you might have to kind of study it a little bit and really think about it. But Moses has an emphasis, and God has an emphasis. And I just want you to decipher what those two are, and next week we'll talk about it. Does that sound good? Okay. All right. Amen. 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 You enjoying this series so far? I honestly think it only gets better from here. And it's only 6 weeks. I had to force myself not. I could have preached in Exodus, I think, for 6 months. It's rich. But next week we'll look at Exodus 4. What does God emphasize? And what does Moses emphasize? We'll talk about that. So here's what I like to do at the end of every service. I just like to talk to those that maybe you don't know Jesus, which is a pretty important thing. In fact, it's the only way that you can hear the voice of God is to know his son. Jesus says this, that he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to my Father except by me. And so what I want to do is just encourage you, maybe through today, this series, being around our church, I don't know what it is, but the Spirit has already begun to work on your heart. Like it's been changing, something's going on. You can't even quite explain it. You didn't grow up in church, and you don't know the Bible, and you don't understand the structure of everything that we fully do, but something's shifting. It's changing. It's moving on the inside of you. God's at work. It's a decisive direction. It's a new day. And today, your ear heard hope. Your ear heard the name Jesus. Yeah, it's time. Your heart was prepared for today, what your ear has heard. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, somebody looking around, if you're tuning in online, I just encourage you, hang tight just for another minute. Is all I want to do is invite you to pray with me. I believe God's already done his work in your heart. I'm just going to help you with the language. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Church family, you know how we do it. I always ask you to say it out loud with me because I want people saying it for the first time to be confident when they pray it. And so if that's you today, I'm talking to you. Today's the day where you say, I'm going to begin my relationship with Jesus. For some of you, you might be saying, I'm going to begin again. It's a do-over. I'm starting fresh. That is perfectly okay. The Bible says his mercy is new every single morning. So I just want to lead you in this prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.